Amen. Love you, brother. Romans chapter number 9. It's a blessing to be able to be back at Amory. We've been coming for a number of years. Last year we didn't get to come. Our choir leader passed away last year at this time, and so we had to, of course, stay there. Do, by the way, remember his widow. Of course, it's been a year now that the Lord would help with that. But also, let me just mention a few things. I asked the pastor for permission to do a little bit. First of all, Brother Gary Hall was pastor where I'm at. He was there almost 27 years, and I've been there. This year makes 8 years now. Brother Hall's been in bad health for a good while, and I think he's been able to come to church two times since August. And today, there's plan on going back to Springfield tomorrow. He's got doctor appointments in Springfield. And he was going to get his hair cut, walking up the steps to the barbershop, fell backwards, busted his head open. And as we came in for supper, they had him in doing CT scan, all the stuff that goes with that. But we got news right as service was beginning that no brain bleeds, no concussion. They're sending him home. Praise God. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. But if you would, do pray for Brother Gary Hall and ask the Lord to touch him and help him there. The Lord would continue to meet those needs. And then also I asked if I could mention about the radio station. Many of you know, and several of you support, some of you are on our station. But our church, Island Ford Baptist Church, owns the oldest Christian gospel radio station in the state of Kentucky. 46 years old now. And it's listener supported, King James only. Amen. Amen. Pretty much independent Baptist. We have Bob Jones Sr. We play some of his stuff sometimes. And we did have J. Harold Smith and men like that. But older men, we have, like, for example, Brother Lester Roloff's on 7 days a week. Oliver B. Green's on 5 days a week. And anyway, God's blessed the station. And we reach into parts of four states in Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, and Illinois. We're 39,000 watts. And about 16, 17 years ago, they bought another station down in McKenzie, Tennessee, which is a couple hours away. And just in 2021, we heard that the FCC was going to open a window. That's what they call that you could apply for additional stations. And we were trying to find something to connect these two stations so that when you're driving down I-69, that you wouldn't have a dead spot, that you couldn't hear our station. And our lawyers told us and the engineers told us to apply for three in the hopes to get one. So we applied for three and got all three. And it's a miracle. We're the only people that I know of in the state of Kentucky that got all three stations that they applied for. And that's just the hand of God. And we got them all up as of the end of last year. We had the last one up, and we're going good. So we thank the Lord for that. And we went from reaching somewhere around 350,000 potential people, that's the population that we're reaching, to somewhere around 700,000 to 800,000 people that we can reach. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we're reaching about four or five different interstates now, portions of those interstates, of course. And we're rejoicing about that. But keep us in prayer. We have an app. If you want to go to WSOF.org, make sure you go to WSOF.org. Stands for Wonderful Sounds of Faith. Don't go to .com. That's a World Series of Fighting. That's another independent Baptist group. that's not us. Amen. That's the way I say that everywhere I go. Amen. Amen. I love this church. Love the people here. Still, we've been coming for a number of years. Love Brother Jacob. And I'm blessed seeing what all y'all have done. Amen. And I know you're not through, but thank God for the work that's being done and the house of God being beautified. Amen. And lightened up. Boy, this is good. I told my only problem, we couldn't find our pew. We got a place. We always sit in the same place. Amen. All right, let me get on. Wait a minute. Romans chapter number 9, and I want to do quite a bit of Bible reading. And if you would like to stand with us, it'll be all right. I'm going to read 18 verses. I'll start with verse 1, read down through verse 18. I'm going to try to just cover this in a nutshell. And I know that, and I've talked to Brother Rutledge back some time ago, that the Lord nudged my heart to start studying the book of Romans verse by verse. We're doing that on Sunday morning. And actually, we're in chapter 10 now. But this is a thought that I preached back a month or so ago. And I know Brother Rutledge went through the book, and Brother Simpson went through the book. I don't, right there, going through it. All right, amen, praise the Lord. You're in chapter 9. All right, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful book. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people, some people have taken this book. The book of Romans is about faith. It's about salvation by faith. Not salvation by election. Not salvation by predetermination. It's not a deformed doctrine. Right. It's salvation by faith. Now, God gets to choose. We'll look at that. All right, we're in that. We're in those verses. Verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Boy, we need a burden like that, don't we? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham, or are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not all the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Boy, a lot of people get hung up right there. I remember hearing or reading where Charles Spurgeon said that some of his students came to him and asked him about that verse. Of course, they'd found it in Malachi, and asked him what he thought about that. He said, I've always had concern about that. And they said, right, how could God hate Esau? Spurgeon said, my problem's never been that. My problem was, how could he love Jacob? Amen. Verse number 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. I'm going to stop there. Those are hard verses, but I'm going to do my best to try to give you just an overview of what I think, an investigation into this doctrine. He's talking about the election, not of salvation, the election of Israel, the nation that he's going to be presenting his word through, that he's going to be witnessing to the world through this nation. And that's what he's talking about, that election. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the songs already sung by the congregation and by the special. Thank you, Lord, that you came to me. I remember that day, fifth Sunday in June, 1974, as a little 8-year-old boy when you brought me to myself and you showed me the Savior that died for my sin. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. And I believe you'll do the same for somebody here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that we'd rally around the cross and we'd lift up Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I'm going to try to run quick and give you just a thought. I preached 3 different Sundays on this text, to be honest with you, in looking at it. I'm going to try to give you just an overview of some of the thoughts that I've got here. I've got 4 points. Wouldn't dare have 5 in a message like this. But I've got 4 points that I want to bring out, because there's 4 individuals that he mentions and that he deals with in these texts. So as I investigate this and look at it, he's talking about Israel, the nation, but he's dealing with these individuals. By the way, when he talks about Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, he did not say that in the book of Genesis where those 2 boys were born. He said that in the, not the first book of the Old Testament, but the last book of the Old Testament. And when he said the elder shall serve the younger, Esau never served Jacob. So he couldn't have been talking about Esau personally or Jacob personally. He was talking about the nations. The Edomites did serve the Israelites. Right. Because God's promise was to the nation. God was choosing a nation, not choosing individuals. And one other plug that I'll give, He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy. He does not say, I will damn who I want to damn. It's not His will that any should perish.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's our God. Amen. And so He's interested in showing mercy, and that's what this text is dealing with. I know that some people run that to another degree, and they pick and choose and a lot of different things that are with that. But let me just look at this and thinking about God's election of Israel that He's dealing with. And in chapter number 9, you've got, and I'm using an outline that John Phillips gave. He said chapter 9, 10, 11, you've got the gospel's relation to Shemites. All right, the nation of Israel. Today we're talking about anti-Semitic. Now that's talking about anti-Jewish or Shemite or Semite. All right, and so in chapter number 9, you've got God's dealing with Israel in the past. In chapter number 10, you've got God's dealing with Israel in the present. Amen. In chapter number 11, you've got God's dealing with Israel as predicted. Amen. As predicted that He will deal with Israel in prophecy, you might say, in the days that are to come. But in dealing with this in chapter number 9, in God's dealing with Israel and the relationship of the gospel to the Shemites, you've got the election of Israel. First of all, the election of Israel defined and then defended in these texts. And just starting with verse number 19 is where that it is defended. And I'm not going to have time to deal with that. He brings up questions and asks these questions, verse 14 and verse 19, and he answers those questions defending God's election of Israel. But here's the point that I want to say. God is sovereign. We do believe that. And God has the right to pick who can be saved and who cannot be saved. And the way He chose that was by faith. Amen. Now, I know, and again, I don't want to dig into it, and I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm trying to just preach the gospel and preach the truth. Amen. But in this, some of this idea that people have, that one of their doctrines is unconditional election, I don't believe election is ever unconditional. It is always conditional. It's on the conditional of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God's never saved anybody without faith. And so Israel was God's chosen nation, but without faith, they could not go to heaven. That's what He's showing in these texts. And so He's describing and defending Israel's election. Now, I said I've got 4 points. Number one, God's election of Isaac. He deals with this in verses number 6 through 9. And He starts off verse 6 with this phrase, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Now, what's He saying there? He said God's been good to Israel. God really blessed Israel. He chose that nation. He chose Abraham, brought him out of that heathenism and idolatry, and brought him to the promised land. Amen. And God showed him His word and showed him the things that was going to be and gave him a covenant and a promise. Amen. And Israel got all those blessings, and yet they failed to believe God. They had the word and they rejected the word. No wonder they rejected the living word when He came among them. Amen. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. How? Even them that believe on His name. Amen. It is through faith. It always has been. And so He says, but not as though. Here's the idea. He's saying it's not that Israel doesn't need to be saved. See, here's the question. When Paul brings it up and says, boy, I've got a real burden for my people, Israel says, why? What have we got to worry about? We're a quote unquote in God's covenant. We're the covenant people of God. We're the children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. That's what they were saying to our Lord Himself. Amen. And so they were saying, why would you have this burden? And what Paul is saying to them, God's been mighty good, but your faith has failed. You didn't take God at His word. It wasn't that the word of God failed. It wasn't that there was none effect in the Word of God. It was that there was no faith exercised in that Word of God. Amen. And so Paul knew that this might be expected to draw the ire of his beloved nation. They would hate him for what he was saying. And they did, by the way, hate him for what he was saying, because they declared that they did not need a Savior. They had no need of a Savior. That they were descendants of blessed Abraham and all that goes along with that. So he starts right here in verse number 6. With that phrase, relieving them of any suspicions that God had broken His promise. It wasn't that God failed in His promise. The promise of God did not fail. We've all heard this. We've heard it 100 times at least. The Old Testament was not a failure that produced then the need for a New Testament. God never sent the law. The law was never meant to save men. Amen. Chapter number 10, he goes into that, and this is where I was at Sunday, that Christ, verse number 4, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. Amen. He's the end. You know, in other words, here, the law was saying, you've messed up and you better be looking for a lamb. Amen. The law said you've messed up royally and you better be looking for a perfect lamb. You better be looking for one that can wash your sins away. And the whole end of the law, the whole purpose of the law was to point them to Christ. Amen. It was our schoolmaster. We know all that. All right. Let me read. I'm taking longer than I mean to. All right. Let me go on reading. Verse number 6, I just read the first sentence. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. It's not talking about replacing Israel now. Amen. It's not an anti-Semitic gospel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, that which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now that promise goes back in Genesis chapter number 17 and verse number 19. God told Abraham that I'm not going to give my blessing to Ishmael. Ishmael was the firstborn. He was not of Sarah, but of Abraham. He was Abraham's firstborn son. God said, I'm not going to accept that first birth. I'm looking for the second birth. And he bypassed Ishmael and he went to Isaac. He does it again with Jacob and Esau, by the way. Esau's first birth, Jacob's second birth. And everybody better have a second birth or they'll never get to heaven. Amen. Amen. And so he says, I'm not picking Ishmael. Now, by the way, that wasn't all the sons Abraham had. He had one by Hagar, one by Sarah, and six by Keturah, wasn't it? Was that her name? Had six by her. And God chose none of the others, but he said, I'm only going to choose Isaac. He says that again, repeats that in chapter number 21 and verse number 12 when Hagar is going away. And Abraham had a burden for Ishmael. Amen. He had a burden for Ishmael. And yet God said, I'm not going to choose this son. I'm going to choose the one that's the son of promise. Amen. Now, what's he choosing? Not whether to go to heaven or not. It was the nation that was going to come from him. Amen. Secondly, there's the election of Jacob, verse number 10 through verse number 13. Verse number 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Amen. And so here you've not got multiple wives and multiple children. You've got one man, one woman, like God meant for it to be, by the way. And multiple sons born to that one man and one woman. And yet God said, I'm going to get to pick which one I want to be my nation of choice. Amen. God didn't say, I'm going to send one to hell and I'm going to take the other one to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the nation of choice. Amen. So the lineage had been reduced from all of Abraham's sons, all of Abraham's seed. And that, by the way, that's the whole point in Romans, is that he's saying to Israel, just because you're Abraham's seed does not mean you've got a ticket to heaven. Amen. And it's been reduced down to Isaac. Then Isaac has these two, and it's reduced even further on down to Jacob. Amen. And so, by the way, Paul's careful to mention that it's not based on their works. This was announced before they were even born, when they're in the womb. Amen. When they're in the womb, God said to her that the elder shall serve the younger. God made the choice. There's two nations in thy womb. And God's going to choose the nation that would be his nation, if you could say it that way. Amen. And so he says that in that phrase, of course, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Again, the Edomites were against God, the enemies of God. Amen. And so I don't have time really to delve into that. But I'll say this. Look, Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 16. So then it is not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Here, I read a bunch of commentaries, what people said about some of that. And somebody made this statement. I don't remember where I got it. but maybe more than one. Matter of fact, Brother Ronnie Simpson says 90% of originality is forgetting your sources. So one of the commentators said this, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Isaac willed to give the blessing to Esau. And Esau ran after the venison to get the blessing. God said, it ain't after him that willeth, nor is it after him that runneth. Somebody else said, well, Rebekah willed that Jacob get it. And Jacob ran to get a lamb, amen, so they could fool, deceive the dad. To make the venison and bring all that. But again, it wasn't up to Rebekah, neither was it up to Jacob. Jacob didn't get the blessing because he outsmarted God. Now, here's the point. This is what helped me in this. I want you to think about it with me. When you think about Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah, before those boys were born, God said to Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger, and he said, Jacob, have I loved Esau? I've had all that. God made that announcement made. Don't you know that Isaac knew that? And yet Isaac was trying to go against the will of God. Isaac was wrong to try to give the birthright or give the blessing to Esau when he knew God said the younger is supposed to get it. Isaac was wrong. Esau was wrong for trying to get it in spite of the fact that he had despised it and sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Amen. Rebekah was wrong for trying to trick and deceive her own husband. And Jacob was wrong. So the whole crowd was wrong. So how did they get mercy? None of them deserved it. Not one of them deserved it. Not one of them deserved it. How did they get mercy? God said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Amen. Now here's what somebody said. This is so right. Here's the story we learn from that. If we want the blessing, we've got to come in the name of another. Amen. We got to come in the name of the beloved Son. Amen. That is beloved of the Father. If we'll come in His name, we may very well get the blessing. Amen. Amen. It's always been by faith. Amen. Well, I think about all of them being wrong. Then we go to Moses here in verse number 15. I skipped over these to get to 16, not of him that willeth, but him that runneth. But verse 15 says, for he saith, who said it? God said it. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Said that to Moses in Exodus 33 and verse number 19. You remember the story, Moses asked to see God's glory. God said, I can't show you my glory. He said, I'll show you my goodness. Amen. Well, there's a whole message in that. God said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over you and I'll pass by. And you'll see, and this is my belief. I believe you see God's goodness by looking behind Him. You look at the past. Amen. God's been good to America. Has He been good to America? You think about our Revolutionary War. Amen. You think about our foundings. You think, amen. I can't look around right now and see a whole lot of goodness, but I can look back and see some goodness. Amen. And when I look back down my road, I see a lot of goodness behind me. Amen. The goodness of the Lord. God said in that statement when He said that in Exodus 33 verse 19, here's what, and God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. That proclamation went out as the goodness of God passed by. Now, backtrack just a little bit. That's Exodus 33. The chapter right before that, you know that Moses has been up on the mountain with God those 40 days and nights getting the law of God while he's up there. Amen. Yeah. Moses prayed for mercy. Then Moses went down there and saw it. When he saw it, he got angry. I've said before, if Moses and God ever got on the same page, Israel would have been done. Amen. But Moses got angry when he saw what was going on. And he threw those tablets down and he broke the tablets. And yet, though, when the anger was passed, Moses prayed for mercy. Now, here's where I'm going with that. Then, in that prayer for mercy, he said, Lord, I want to see you. just like in the story of Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Rebekah. You know how many of them Jews deserved mercy? Not one of them. Not one of them. God said to Moses, you don't have to go to hell for them. I mean, he said, if you're not, strike my name. Strike my name from the record. If you're not. It was all by grace. It was all by grace. Then there's the message to Pharaoh, verse 18. Well, verse 17, I skipped. Verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose. Now that's backed up even further than Exodus 30 or 32, 33. It's way back. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. And I like that, by the way. God said to Moses, God spoke to Moses, but the scripture spoke to Pharaoh. I like it when the scripture speaks to me, don't you? Amen. And when the scripture speaks to you, God's speaking to you. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. That he is predestined to go to hell. He's not announcing that to Pharaoh. He said to Pharaoh, listen, you wouldn't be king if it wasn't for me. You couldn't have got out of bed this morning if it wasn't for me. Amen. I raised you up. By the way, raised him up to the throne. God could have easily raised up somebody else instead. He raised him up from those boils when the boils had come on him. And he prayed for mercy just right before that statement. And God said, raise him up for that very purpose. God got him out of bed. That bed of affliction. Amen. God's showing to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's not the sovereign he thinks he is. God's the sovereign. Amen. And God sets him up and God takes him down. Amen. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But in his mighty power, he wanted to show his mighty power through Pharaoh. Amen. Again, what's he going to do to Pharaoh? Well, he's going to destroy Pharaoh. He's going to destroy his army. He's going to break the back of Egypt and he's going to let his people go free. What's he going to do? God's going to show mercy to whom he'll show mercy. Though none of them deserved it. Amen. He's showing his mighty power. Now think with me. Think with me just a minute here. Why would God mention Pharaoh in this whole story talking about Jews? Because Pharaoh's not a Jew. Because Paul's writing to the Romans. And he's wanting the Romans to know it's not just to the Jews. It's also to the Gentiles. Amen. It's to whomsoever will. Amen. That the gospel message. Listen, how did Pharaoh know that he's supposed to let the people go? Because God's word told him so. How do you know you're a sinner? Because God's word says you're a sinner. It's not just what the preacher says. It's not just what mom and dad says. It's what the scripture says about you and I. Amen. And God was good enough to Pharaoh to let him hear the scripture. God was good enough to Pharaoh to send him a man and a voice and to show him all those mighty deeds. And yet Pharaoh refused to believe. 10 times in the book of Exodus, 10 times the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened himself, hardened his heart. And 10 times the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know what happens when you turn away from the truth, you turn to fables. It happens every time. I mean, you watch people leave a good, solid King James Bible preaching church. When they leave the preaching, they go off, you're amazed at what they go off into. When they turn away from the light, you know what they do? They go deeper into darkness. And their foolish heart is darkened. Over and over and over, that's how it happens. And so God's saying to Pharaoh, listen, Pharaoh heard God's commands. Pharaoh saw God's display of power. Yet he rejected God's word and suffered the consequences of doing so. Amen. That proves the point that he's trying to drive home here in verse number 18. Therefore, he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will, he hardeneth. That doesn't say that you can't help whether you get saved or not. It doesn't say I have no control over whether I go to heaven or hell. Oh no, what that says is if you want help, you can get help. And if you want to harden yourself, God will let you. Really? That's what he's saying. If you want to harden yourself, God's done everything he can do, everything he will do to bring you to Christ. God gave his son. Amen. His son gave his life. You've heard the preaching. You've got a Bible. Amen. You've got all these things to show you what you need, and yet you say, no, I'm going to stiffen my neck. I'm going to wait a little longer. I'm going to go on my way. If that's what you want, God will say, okay, you can have it. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven looking to have mercy. He's not standing there with a baseball bat wanting to knock people off into hell. He's standing there with arms wide open saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Preacher, I'm done. Amen. Amen.